Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Frankenstein. Yeah, we're in a Halloween mood here, and so we turn our attention to the cinematic legacy of the literary creation of Mary Shelley, whose novel published in 1818, titled Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus, has proved a gold mine for movie makers. Story of a young scientist who dares to dabble in ambitions that would be better left untampered with, at least by mortals, and builds himself a human being out of spare parts. We've got lots of music today to accompany the cinematic Frankensteins from the early Universal Pictures entries that made a star of Boris Karloff to more recent films that provided composing opportunities for the more modern sounds of people like Carter Burwell and Danny Elfman. Then for the trailer, at the end of our show, we'll take a listen to one of the more gloriously absurd offspring in the Frankenstein family tree. The first sound production of a Frankenstein movie was released in 1931. This was early enough in the history of synchronized sound. Remember, that's less than 5 years from the end of the silent movie era. That people still hadn't quite figured out how to put music into a soundtrack, how that would all work. So there actually isn't much music in that 1931 film, the one that introduced Karloff to the role of the monster. You know, who isn't really a monster after all. He's just a newborn who gets quickly rejected by his creator and has to fend for himself in a cold world. I mean, you'd lash out too. If there's not much music here, there is a little bit, and it's composed by Bernhard Kaun, whose work in Hollywood was mostly in conducting and arranging, although he had his hand in composing as well, and we're going to hear his opening credits music. But first, we'll take a moment to hear the real opening of the 1931 Frankenstein, which brings a warning, or possibly it's an invitation, from the actor Edward Van Sloan on behalf of the Universal Studio Chief.
How do you do? Mr. Carl Emley feels it would be a little unkind to present this picture without just a word of friendly warning. We are about to unfold the story of Frankenstein, a man of science who sought to create a man after his own image without reckoning upon God. It is one of the strangest tales ever told. It deals with the two great mysteries of creation, life and death. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Thank you.
That's the opening credits music from the 1931 version of Frankenstein, composed by Bernhard Kaun, preceded by the warning that opens the movie, delivered in the plummy tones of the actor Edward Van Sloan, who achieved immortality as the stuffy Dr. Waldman in that film, and also as the vampire slayer Van Helsing in the original Dracula. I wrote a book about that film, Frankenstein, so I can go on here, but we're going to move to the sequel, which not only reminds us that not all sequels are bad, far from it, but also gives us a way to measure how quickly film music had advanced in 4 years. Because the score of Bride of Frankenstein, which came out in 1935, is justly celebrated. It's one of the most inventive and ambitious of its moment. It was composed by one of the many émigrés to Hollywood from Europe in the 1930s, talking about Franz Waxman here. And it was his first proper Hollywood score. Film's director James Whale let Waxman really create a big-scale canvas to suit the strangeness of that sometimes scary, sometimes campy film. And the score is really a landmark. Let us start with a brief cue. This one's titled Danse Macabre, which will give a healthy sense of the quirkiness that Waxman conjures up for this tale. That is the Danse Macabre from Franz Waxman's score for Bride of Frankenstein, a movie with many bizarre and witty and, as you heard there, sort of romantic touches. But Waxman really earned his keep with the cue titled Creation, a long piece that builds tension as Dr. Frankenstein and his fanciful colleague, Dr. Pretorius, finally make their female creature. So settle in for this one and notice how the steady drumbeat that you hear is going to be sustained throughout this quite long piece, regardless of the other things Waxman introduces musically. It drums like the heartbeat our doctors are trying to maintain in their brand new person. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is a long bravura piece of music from a cue titled Creation, composed by Franz Waxman from his innovative score for Bride of Frankenstein. That movie really set Waxman off on his Hollywood career, which included movies like Rebecca for Alfred Hitchcock and a couple of Oscars for Sunset Boulevard and A Place in the Sun. This is The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We are listening today to films in the Frankenstein cinematic universe. Well, the Universal Horror Pictures continued after that, of course, and although Karloff left the role of the monster after 1939's Son of Frankenstein, the big man soldiered on, and here is some rousing monster main title music for Ghost of Frankenstein 1942, and then a cue from the 1944 House of Frankenstein titled The Monstrosities. This is music by the prolific Hans Salter, a composer born in Vienna who found steady employment at Universal Pictures for many years.
Thank you.
two cues there by Hans J. Salter. You just heard music from House of Frankenstein, and before that, Ghost of Frankenstein. Two titles that thrilled me in childhood while watching Nightmare Theater on Friday night TV. You may recall that House of Frankenstein brings all the Universal monsters together under one roof. When my 11-year-old self heard about that prospect, I was pretty happy about the idea of a summit meeting of my favorite characters. Another movie cycle that employed the Frankenstein story came courtesy of Hammer Films in Britain, with Peter Cushing generally cast as the Doctor, and a variety of actors, beginning with Christopher Lee, filling the rather large shoes of the monster. Here are two selections from those chilling scores. First, the main title music from Frankenstein Created Woman in 1967. Then title music from Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell, 1974, composed by James Bernard. Two selections composed by James Bernard for the Hammer Films horror series. You just heard from Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell. And before that, Frankenstein Created Woman. Heck of a title. that has the movie living up to a certain swinging London attitude, I think. Those are from an album, re-recording the scores by the RTE Concert Orchestra. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We are considering film music from Frankenstein pictures today. The 1970s brought two interesting variations on our subject, courtesy Mel Brooks and Andy Warhol. And Mel Brooks, of course, created Young Frankenstein, 1974 hit with Gene Wilder as the reluctant member of a family whose last name he prefers to pronounce as Frankenstein. For this movie, Brooks had a main musical theme that could be taken absolutely straight as a universal monster score. Composed by his longtime musical collaborator John Morris, it's called Transylvanian Lullaby. That melody called Transylvanian Lullaby, composed by John Morris for Mel Brooks's classic Young Frankenstein. Movie that's so successful, not just because it's funny, but because Brooks and Gene Wilder, his co-writer, have such affection for those original Universal Pictures monster movies. Brooks even used some of the laboratory gizmos that had been used in the 1930s films. Well, okay, so that Andy Warhol film is really titled Flesh for Frankenstein, although it was marketed as Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, even if Warhol had almost nothing to do with the movie making itself. It's a crazy affair, though, with the great character actor Udo Kier as the Baron Frankenstein, and with music by Italian composer Claudio Gizzi, including this surprisingly lyrical Frankenstein's theme. Music from the 1973 film Flesh for Frankenstein, which went out under Andy Warhol's name. That's composed by Claudio Gizzi. Let's listen to music from a film that is not a horror movie per se, but an intriguing study of the man who directed those early Universal horror Frankenstein pictures, James Whale. The director, Bill Condon, made Gods and Monsters, released in 1998, which gave Ian McKellen an Oscar-nominated role as James Whale, the English gentleman who spends his time at his Hollywood home, long retired from the picture business, but haunted by past experiences and greatly intrigued by the young man played by Brendan Fraser, who works as a gardener around the place. The music is by Carter Burwell, that regular collaborator with the Coen brothers, here contributing a cue called Frankenwhale. That's music from Gods and Monsters, composed by Carter Burwell. Well, another movie about the genesis of Frankenstein, although this time going farther into the past, was Gothic, 1986, Hootenanny, directed by Ken Russell, in which we see dramatized the weeks that Mary Shelley and Lord Byron and Percy Shelley sat around Byron's Italian villa, and she came up with the story of her novel. That film is pretty crazy, and the music is appropriately sort of nervous and large. It's composed by Thomas Dolby. Yeah, the She Blinded Me with Science new wave guy with a very 80s vibe. Music composed by Thomas Dolby for Ken Russell's wacko film, Gothic. A look at how the novel Frankenstein was hatched in Mary Shelley's mind. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are listening to music from Frankenstein films. Why don't we check in with another notable modern composer, Danny Elfman, who had some fun during the soundtrack for Tim Burton's film Frankenweenie, 2012 animated feature that was actually an expansion of a short that Burton had made in way back in 1984, about a little boy named Victor Frankenstein, who figures out a way to bring his dead dog back to life. Danny Elfman gets to charge up some electricity with this cue titled Mad Monster Party. Thank you. Music from Tim Burton's Frankenweenie, composed by Danny Elfman. Movie about a boy and his dog that proves that variations on the Frankenstein theme are pretty much inexhaustible. Kenneth Branagh went back to the source material, sort of, for his 1994 film Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, that was the whole title, casting himself as the doctor and Robert De Niro as the monster. Here's some music by Patrick Doyle for the creation sequence. This might give a hint of how far over the top Branagh's version of the story goes. Music by Patrick Doyle. You can kind of tell that's the creation sequence there for Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. A movie directed, or maybe it's more accurate to say over-directed, by Kenneth Branagh. And our trailer music suggests that we are near the end of the show, and if you are a young Frankenstein fan, you probably sense that something important has been left out thus far, and you are correct. After Dr. Frankenstein, who by this time has reclaimed his family's pronunciation, has created his monster, they prepare a music hall show to introduce this new man, and the performance includes a notable song and dance number, To Puttin' on the Ritz. It begins promisingly, but all does not go well, as you will hear in this excerpt featuring Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle from Young Frankenstein.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, Damen und Herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town. Hit it!
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks, or Umbrellas in their midst. We'll be right back.
tell you. 5, 6, 7, 8. For God's sake, come on. Are you trying to make me look like a fool?
Tragedy ensues there in a clip from Mel Brooks's film, Young Frankenstein. The song Putting on the Ritz, written by Irving Berlin, who was still alive, by the way, when that movie came out, and performed by Dr. Frankenstein, Gene Wilder, and the monster, Peter Boyle. Well, that should not be the final word here, of course, so let's go back to the score of Bride of Frankenstein for more music from Franz Voxmann, a cue titled The Monster's Entrance. And with that, we will, as the film's unforgettable Dr. Pretorius says, make a toast to a new world of gods and monsters. I'm Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to The Music in the Movies.